The top Catholic bishops from around the world will gather at the Vatican for a historic summit 1 month from today. The topic will be sex abuse by the clergy. The aim will be to determine how to best protect children from sexual abuse. This meeting comes after a stream of painful revelations in the past year about violations in Catholic dioceses across the country.
Theodore McCarrick is no longer a cardinal. Pope Francis stripped him of his title over allegations of sexual abuse.
That was in July. McCarrick might be kicked out of the priesthood. A few weeks later, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro announced that a grand jury named 300 priests implicated in the sexual abuse of at least 1,000 children.
Predators in every diocese weaponized the Catholic faith and used it as a tool of their abuse.
Later, an Illinois attorney general announced that hundreds more priests there stand accused of abuse than the church had publicly identified. And in the Archdiocese of Boston, two seminarians made allegations of a toxic culture at a seminary. They told of sexual misconduct and intimidation among faculty and seminarians. Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley launched an inquiry. He was criticized for appointing church insiders to conduct it. O'Malley later hired a former U.S. attorney to lead the investigation. These allegations no longer surprise many Catholics in the once thriving Catholic community in Boston. The priest scandal first broke in the city 17 years ago. That's when the Boston Globe published an exposé on the archdiocese. It revealed that hundreds of priests had sexually abused children for decades, and church leaders had covered it up. Some Catholics in Boston say the litany of recent revelations compounds their pain.
I wish it had all come out at once. These bits and pieces are doing a job on the church, that's for sure.
Maureen Gannon is a member of St. Bridget Parish in the suburb of Framingham. She fears that all this bad news is burying the good that the Catholic Church does. She prays the scandals will end, and she gets angry.
I have 14 grandchildren, and I want them to continue as Catholics, and they're not going to do it if this keeps happening.
Other St. Bridget parishioners say they separate their faith from the lapses in their church. Parishioner Grace Mina.
Those who are wrong, I want them to have the justice that they seek. And I want those who wronged them to be meted out the justice that they deserve. But it does not really affect me with my relationship with the Lord.
It seems like, you know, deja vu all over again, and even worse, with even more pain, I think.
Barbara Thorpe worked for the Boston Archdiocese. She directed the office that provides pastoral and mental health support to survivors of priest abuse. She did so for a decade.
We had enough. We knew enough to move forward, and we didn't.
And the "we" refers to who?
The global church.
Thorpe criticizes the global church for not implementing the reforms the Boston Archdiocese has. Father John Connolly is at St. Teresa of Avila in Boston. He says the way forward for the church is obvious.
This thing is easy to understand how to fix if you take as your prime directive the protection of children.
Connolly previously worked with Boston's Cardinal O'Malley. He coordinated the archdiocese response to priest sex abuse. He and Barbara Thorpe credit the cardinal for helping to right the ship. The archdiocese has instituted yearly criminal background checks on all clergy, staff, and volunteers. It's also implemented abuse prevention training for employees and even Catholic school students. The archdiocese mandates that all allegations of abuse get reported to law enforcement and publishes the names of accused clergy, even though it took almost a decade to make those names public. Father Connolly says these changes in Boston are vital.
The culture of silence and secrecy that prevailed for decades is no longer the norm, and that needs to be replicated in the church throughout the world.
Many Catholics felt the church had a chance to chart a new course this past fall when the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops met in Baltimore. They were planning to vote on protocols for how bishops would be investigated for abuse and held accountable for proper handling of abuse allegations. But Pope Francis ordered the group to do nothing until bishops from around the world convene at the Vatican next month. Many Catholics considered the Pope's action another blow to a church that's a shadow of what it was decades ago. More than 100 parishes in the Boston Archdiocese have closed in the past 30 years, and the number of people in the pews has steadily declined, as it has nationally. The Archdiocese says only about 12% of Catholics in the region attend Mass. Daphne Collins lives just outside of Boston.
I started as a deeply religious Catholic coming from a family of deep culture. My mother carved saints.
She has family roots in Catholicism going back centuries all the way to Spain.
I know my prayers in Spanish and English.
Collins has long wanted the church to allow women and married people to become priests. But the disclosures of abuse last summer brought her to the breaking point. She stopped going to Mass.
I really believe that our purpose in life is to know God and to serve others. And yet, here I belong into this organization that is no reflection to all the humanity that belongs to this organization. They say, well, it's going to take a long time for these things to change. It's such an old institution. Well, you know, I'm an old institution. I'm 61. In my lifetime, this is an old time. And it's time for me to just be authentic to myself.
Collins now worships with Quakers in a nearby town. Carrie Rodriguez of the suburb Medford, on the other hand, still attends Mass several times a week at St. Anthony Shrine in downtown Boston.
What happens in this building is faith in action every single day.
The Shrine's mission is rooted in social justice. Rodriguez and her children are part of a church group that hands out food, socks, and scarves to people who are homeless.
Dysfunction that happens in the Catholic Church, the overarching organization, that's a million miles from what is happening in this building. The church and the Roman Catholic organization that was created by men, this work that you're seeing on our street, in this shrine, is the work that we have been called to as Catholics.
That sense of connection with those who are suffering keeps student Angelo Jesus Canta in the church. He studies theology at Boston College. He only knows a Catholic church in crisis.
When the Pennsylvania grand jury report came out, when the revelations about Cardinal McCarrick and sort of the depth of the corruption and the abuse came out, I was very angry. But the struggle and the anger has not given me enough reason to jump ship.
Canta may be bucking a trend. Studies find about a third of adults who are raised Catholic don't stay Catholic. Helen Drynan has stayed with her religion, but she doesn't trust the church.
I think that trust, once lost, is an extremely difficult thing to regain.
Drynan is president of Simmons University. She used to work for the Boston Archdiocese hospital system. She left in a dispute with a cardinal over allegations the hospital CEO was sexually harassing women staffers. Last year, Drynan wrote an op-ed in the Globe titled, "This Catholic Has Lost Patience with the Church." She questioned why it takes attorneys general across the U.S. to uncover criminal activity by priests and why the church itself isn't doing it. And Drynan's anger at the church as an institution extends further.
So much of the church is male-dominated. Women are, I'll use the phrase second-class citizens. I'm not even sure if second-class addresses the real status of women in the church. Let's step back and say, what has made institutions run really, really well? And we know, for example, that diversity in decision-making makes for better decisions. In public companies that have women in the lead, their performance in the marketplace goes up.
Many of the Catholics we spoke with expressed hope that as wrongdoings of the church continue to unspool, they'll lead to a kind of epiphany, a rebirth of the church. Boston College theology professor Tom Groom hopes disheartened and dismayed Catholics hold on to their faith.
I think they have to recognize that, yes, their Catholic Church and the structures of it made dreadful mistakes, but that this faith is a deeply life-giving faith. It's the largest educator in the world, a huge social service system. And to simply let go of it, all of that because our institution has failed us, I think that would be sad.
Professor Groom's wish for the Catholic Church is echoed by Barbara Thorpe, the woman who worked with abuse survivors in the Boston Archdiocese. She finds reason to be hopeful.
As bad as this new moment is, I think we are in more in a time of light than in darkness, because it is the light that's exposing these things that have been hidden and in secret and need to be addressed.
The eyes of the faithful will be on the Vatican next month when Pope Francis meets with leading bishops worldwide on the issue of how to protect minors from sexual abuse.